Welcome to Feed Your Faith. I'm your host, Courtney Kopeck. I'm a Christian food and body image coach. I spent most of my life hating my body and feeling frustrated with food. Then God stepped in and showed me something so supernatural in His Word, it transformed my life forever. Now, I have peace around food and feel comfortable in my body. I'm teaching female followers of Christ all over the world how to find this exact same food freedom through a deeper faith in Jesus. Join me in fellowship here every week as I discuss biblical scriptures directed towards how to treat and love our own bodies, as well as share personal struggles and thoughts around food and body image and the role God plays in both. I also talk with other women of faith who share their personal stories and wisdom around God's grace in putting a final end to their own food and body image drama. This episode is brought to you by my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. If you're ready for some answered prayers around your food struggles and body image issues and want to start living abundantly in the life God has waiting for you, where you are truly free from binging, food restricting, and yo-yo dieting, get my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to CourtneyKopeck.com/signup for free devotional. That's CourtneyKopeck.com/signup for free devotional. And now let's get to the podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Feed Your Faith with Courtney Kopeck. That is I. I'm your host, Courtney Kopeck. Today's episode is so exciting. I feel like I say this about every episode, but I can't help it because every topic I talk about just, it really lightens me up because I know it's coming from God. And this is no different. I'm going to be talking from the book of Joshua today. And as a reminder, in the book of Joshua, this is about the Israelites crossing the Jordan River when they've been wandering through the desert for 40 years. And if anybody feels like they are in the desert, it's those of us who are trying to recover from the life of dieting and disordered eating, or I should say the lack of life, right, that we've been living. We're trying to get our lives back. We're trying to get things back in order again. We're trying to have some prosperity and some peace around our bodies and around our food. So that's what I'm going to be discussing today, and I'm just going to hop right into it. This book really struck me. The way I was kind of led to it was my mother had been doing a Bible study, and she was sort of like relating to me how they were talking about Joshua. This is where they were going and being strong and being courageous. And she was trying to just sort of lift me up because I've been in this place personally right now where I've been feeling very weak and not capable of accomplishing a lot of things in my life that I want to be able to accomplish. None of them having to do very much with food at the current time, just because that's something that I have really been able to sort of get to the other side of. But I think my point in mentioning that is that there's always going to be obstacles in life, right? And it sounds cliche to say that because, oh, we know that. But I think, you know, with food, when you've been living a life where dieting has taken up most of your time, it very much becomes your identity. You don't know who you really are outside of being someone who's on a diet, or outside of being someone who needs to lose weight, or outside of being someone who's fat, or outside of being someone who's afraid of getting fat. We're very good at putting ourselves into boxes and deciding, yeah, this is our identity. Because that's what makes us feel comfortable. We like to have some sort of name for who we are. The point about following Jesus is that that is who you are. You are a follower of Christ. You are a follower of God. You are someone who is trying to lead a godly life. The world is what keeps sucking us back into these other false identities that we have. And it's much easier to say, oh, I'm a dieter, than it is to say, I love Jesus and I'm doing God's will, right? Because that takes so much more work and effort and letting go of the ego. And dieting is, I mean, dieting takes a lot of work and effort too, but it doesn't get us anywhere. And it is all about ego. And that's the thing about living in the world versus, you know, being a follower of Jesus, is that we're constantly going back and forth between wanting to participate in what the world tells us and wanting to do what God tells us we need to do. And the ego is always wanting to do what the world wants to do. And we know God tells us that the majority of the choices that we make are going to be around the ego, because that is what it means to be a human on the planet. Like, the ego is definitely a sinful sort of creature. It goes after things that are going to feed itself. And Jesus is all about no ego, letting go of that and following what God wants us to do. And so I've just been really struggling lately to feel peace around some things that are going on in my life, and feel courageous. I'm just feeling sort of stuck and a little bit broken. And I think that the point is that even if you are capable, and you are most certainly capable of healing from the diet world that you've been living in and healing from the disordered eating, you totally are capable of doing that if you are tuning in to God. There's always going to be other things that are going to make you feel less than. It's a huge reason why we hold on to dieting, why we hold on to this thin ideal, because it really gives us this false sense of security. And that's something that we desperately need, security. We are designed to need to feel safe and secure. It is ingrained in every ounce of our being. And the problem is that we look for feeling safe and secure in things that really don't give us what we're actually looking for. Because outside of God, there's no such thing as safety and security. There can't be. And he says that in his word. So you have to be aware as you're going through this journey of trying to let go of dieting and let go of feeling like you need to fit in to this thin ideal. You need to weigh a certain amount. You need to wear a certain size pants. Like, when you're trying to move beyond that, you have to be very aware of the fact that other things are going to come up that are going to challenge your safety and challenge your security. I don't care how healed you are. I don't care if you have been able to stop binging for 6 years, 7 years, 20 years. It doesn't mean that your life doesn't still have challenges. It doesn't mean that you feel secure now and perfect in your living, because there's no such thing as that, right? Like, as long as you're on earth, you're going to have challenges. So it's important to keep that in mind, because the point is there's healthier things to be reaching for other than dieting for safety and security. And the main thing is faith. That is what God is really leading you to take hold of, is your faith, not your faith in the world, not your faith in being thin and what that means, and your faith in eating only salads, your faith in eating clean, not in what that says who you are, but in who God says who you are, which is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are beloved, that you are perfect in his sight, that, you know, that he loves you, and his plans are always to prosper you and not to harm you. It's our plans that really mess things up. But lovely God, you know, he gives us that grace and that forgiveness and that mercy. And so thank God we have a God who is that way and kind of gets us back on track. So in the book of Joshua, he's telling everybody basically that they've got to get ready to cross the Jordan. And God is sort of prepping him on what to say to everybody. And in this passage, he says, this is Joshua 1:6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And then he goes on to say in 1:7, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. In 1:9, he goes on to say, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then again in 1:18, it says, only be strong and courageous. So you have be strong and courageous 4 times in the first book of Joshua. I mean, there's your message right there, right? Like, we don't have to do much more digging than that. God is clearly saying, be strong and courageous. The other thing that he's saying around that, like, how do we be strong and courageous? Well, he's saying, meditate on the law. Meditate on it night and day, and then you're going to be successful wherever you go. Do not let it depart from your mouth. Be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Well, we don't have the law anymore because Jesus came and took away the law, but now we have Jesus. So we can take this to mean that we have to meditate on God night and day. We have to meditate on Jesus every moment of our day. Then we will be strong, courageous, prosperous, and successful wherever we go. How exciting is that? Like, wherever we go, those things are being promised to us. He doesn't say, oh, there's not going to be any hardship. There's not going to be any challenges here. He's saying, like, get up, get ready to start moving. We're going to cross to the other side of this Jordan, but it's going to be a challenge. And things need to be done my way, or they're not going to get done at all. And you need to be strong and courageous. And here's how you got to do it. You got to focus on me. You got to focus what I tell you about yourself, who you are in me. You got to focus on Jesus. So where is our focus? The challenges that come up when we're trying to recover from binge eating, when we're trying to recover from restricting our food, when we're trying to recover from an addiction to exercise, an addiction to looking a certain way, when we're trying to find peace around all this and just some balance so that we can live our lives normally, we focus so much on our own strength, which is very pathetic. We're not pathetic, but our strength is pathetic. God built us not to really have a lot of strength in ourselves. 90% of everything that you've ever accomplished that's been good in your life and wonderful in your life has been from God, right? Actually, really, I should correct that and say 100%. There's just this wee small amount that we are capable of doing through ourselves, but it never fully accomplishes the entire goal because without God, you can do nothing. And he says that all the time. I want to kind of invite you to think about the Jordan and think about these people being in the desert. They have been walking in the desert for 40 years. And anyone who's been in the world of dieting for most of their lives, that's like, for some of you, that's more than 40 years. Some of you have been in the desert 70, 80, you know, 60 years. I was in the desert for about 35. The desert of dieting, where you're just stripped down to bare bones and you lose who you are. You know, you lose who you are. You forget who you are. You forget your purpose. You forget your beauty. You forget your beauty because that's what dieting does. It takes away our beauty. We think it gives us beauty. That's what we're searching for. We're searching for beauty. We're searching for self-acceptance. We're searching for control. We're searching for a comfortable, cush life. And we're searching for it through dieting. Other people search for it in other ways. Some people are addicted to working. Some people are addicted to sex. Some people are addicted to shopping. Some people are addicted to video games. We are creatures designed to want comfort, but we can't find that comfort outside of God's loving arms. No matter how hard we try to look for it somewhere else. And we keep trying and we keep trying and we keep trying. We keep this diet and that diet. We go over here and try this food plan. We go over there and we try that food plan. And it works for a little while. And then it doesn't work anymore. And then we can't even go back to it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been on a diet before that worked for you? And then you fall off the wagon, right? Like you just can't do it anymore. Or you get the idea of, okay, I've lost the amount of weight that I want to lose. Although I never got there because I felt like I could always lose more weight. But there are some people out there who are capable of finally saying, okay, I've lost enough. That was not me. But you get there and then you're like, okay, so now I'm just going to be in maintenance mode. Well, maintenance mode sucks. Maintenance mode sucks because now you're living in what I consider to be like diet purgatory. You're neither in heaven nor hell. You're just maintaining. So everything you eat, you're constantly thinking about, okay, I just don't want this to make me gain any weight. I just have to be careful here. But then you're really focusing on the fact that you're being so restricted without a plan. Like at least with dieting, you know you're restricting with the plan of weight loss and you're going to be shown some sort of achievement, right? Like we consider weight loss in our society achievement. So it's something that we're able to hang on to the diet for, you know, however long we can stick to it because of this goal that we're looking to reach, the achievement of thinness. But when you're maintaining isn't like, it just doesn't give you the same sort of high that weight loss does. It's just kind of like, I'm just fitting into the same jeans. It's stagnant. And so maybe you can maintain for a year, 2 years, 3 years. Some people can maintain for 10 years, 15 years. And then something happens. You snap. Or your hormones go a little crazy. You have a baby. You get put on medication that makes you gain weight. You get some sort of autoimmune disorder that has you put on weight. Whatever it is, there's a life stress. I don't know. But somewhere down the line, you start gaining again. And you think, I'm going to go back to that diet that I did, where I lost all that weight. And like, you try it, and you just can't get it to work. You just can't stick to it. Because it's like, been there, done that. I need a new plan now. I need something fresh. I need to start. I did the Weight Watchers. Now I'm going to go do 21 Day Fix. That seems to be all the rage these days. You know, I'm going to go from counting points to measuring my food in little tiny colored cups. It's like crazy. But God is the same all the time. He's eternal. He does not change. He tells us that in his word. And yet he's always enough. We don't need a fresh new God every time we fall away from focusing on him. We don't come back into the picture looking for a different God to worship. It's not like, okay, well, I tried the God of Jesus. You know, I tried Jesus out, fell off the wagon with that. Now I'm going to go over here and do Buddhism. I mean, pretty much once you come to Jesus, that's it. You're there. And you can fall away from following him, but you always come back to him, or hopefully you come back to him, right? You don't need a fresh new Jesus. Jesus is enough. He's enough yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You've got to remember this when you're trying to heal. You've got to keep everything in focus. You can't for a minute drop down your guard. You have to keep looking at the truth. And the truth is that dieting has never saved you. Dieting has never made you a better person. God has. Jesus has. And the requirement to be in Jesus's club is not to weigh a certain amount. It's not to be able to eat clean. It's not to be able to follow a strict workout routine. He takes you as you are, broken. Recognize your brokenness. Like, recognize that you are in the desert. Life is the desert. And we have all these mini little Jordans that we cross as we go through life. There's a part in Joshua 1 also where he's talking about, he says, the Lord your God is member of the command is, wait, what does this say? Sorry, I'm reading this wrong. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. I don't have editing on this podcast. So by the way, I can't just like cut that out. Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Okay, here's the thing. The rest part, like that's where we always want to be. We always want to be in the rest part. We go on the diet to get to a place where we can rest, right? Like, I'm just going to work this diet plan. I'm going to, you know, just keep beating myself up every single day. I just want to get to a place where I can rest. How well has that worked out for you? I don't know about you, but I never got anywhere where I felt I could rest. It was always more, more, more. More weight loss, more dieting, more watching what I'm eating, more anxiety around my food, more fear that I couldn't control my food, more fear that I couldn't control my eating, more fear that I wasn't enough. More, more, more. There was never any rest. And I got to a place where I was thin. So you can't just use the excuse of, oh, well, I just never got thin. Once I got thin, then I would have rest. It's not like that. Because if you don't have rest in your soul, you're not going to find any rest in anything else. And the only way you can find rest in your soul is by resting in God. And in order to rest in God, you have to accept the desert, because that's where we spend 90% of our time. And the reason for that is why? Because that's where we're refined. That's where we're perfected, right? God takes us to the desert because we have to solely rely on Him in order to be able to get to the Jordan. So that's the next question I have for you is, what is your Jordan? What are you in the desert trying to reach? It's not being thin. That is a cover-up. Because if being fat were what was popular, that's what you'd be reaching for. Think about it like this. You're uncomfortable in your body today, perhaps. You look at yourself in the mirror, you scrutinize yourself. You're not happy with what you see. Some of you I know are in relationships with people that make you feel bad about yourself. You have family members that tell you you need to lose weight or you're getting too chunky. One of the best things that my coach taught me was to look at myself as though my body was the perfect body today. Not to think about tomorrow, not to think about yesterday, not to think about 3 hours from now, but in this moment, I have the ideal body. Just pretend that for a second. How do you feel? Like, immediately you feel a little bit of peace, right? A little bit of relaxation. Because it's like, oh, I've attained the ultimate goal. I don't have to worry about my food. I don't have to worry about weight loss. Where my body is right now is the perfect body. Like, I have the Giselle body. And I'm not saying to imagine that you have Giselle's physical body. I'm saying to imagine that if your body was considered like, you know, the way Giselle's body is held up on a pedestal, we're all trying to just look like Giselle. If everyone was trying to look like you, think of the way you're eating right now. Some of you are still dieting. Some of you are not. Some of you are working on intuitive eating, right? We're all doing different things with our food. But if our bodies were exactly what the ultimate body was in this moment, there is a sense of relaxation around that. The point is that society is telling you your body is not that, right? But you're allowing society to tell you what you're supposed to look like, which is totally bogus, and you know it. And that's why you're trying to walk away from dieting. Society has no right to tell you what your body is supposed to look like. Everything's a fad. None of it really matters. None of it holds any like weight. None of it, it's all kind of just like out there in outer space. Like it doesn't mean anything. If you wake up tomorrow and weighing 300 pounds is the new fad, are you then going to start eating to weigh 300 pounds? Ask yourself that seriously. What if everybody trashed you for the body you have now because you didn't weigh 300 pounds? You very well might go out and start eating to the point where you do weigh 300 pounds to fit in. This is what you have to ask yourself. Like, are you feeding your body to nourish yourself and to be healthy? Or are you feeding your body to fit into some sort of stereotype that broken people have created to have power? Because that's really what it's about, right? Dieting industry is all about power. Fashion industry, all about power. Beauty industry, all about power. And somehow somebody gets to make the rules of what is in fashion, what is beautiful, right? And the rest of us are like sheep just walking around following these things because we want power too. We want to feel in control. And God says, no way, lady, that is not happening. You're not going to get that power. You're not going to get that control without me. And I'm not going to give it to you if you're seeking it in order to feel self-sufficient. We are not designed to live our lives as self-sufficient creatures in Christ, because Christ was all about following his Father's plans. You know, it's all like, not my will be done, but his. He always said, I came in the name of my Father. And I'm not telling you this out of my own mouth, but I'm telling you this out of what my Father is telling me to tell you. Jesus was a servant. Dieting tells us that we don't have to be servants. We can be strong. We can be fit. We can be healthy, quote unquote. And anyone who's listened to my podcast knows how I like kind of hate the word healthy because we just turned it into another diet word. I use nourishing. And I'm sure years from now, nourishing will be turned into a diet word, and I'm going to have to come up with something else. But let's get back to what your Jordan is. We know what your desert is, right? Let's make that clear just in case you forgot. Your desert is body acceptance. That's your desert. Body acceptance. It's not the food. For so long, I thought it was the food. I thought my problem laid in my eating. I can't control myself around food. I have a problem with food. I never realized until I really started tuning into God and listening to him that food was not my problem. It was an extension, a branch that came off the center, the core problem, which was that I hated my body. I hated my body, and I took it out through my eating. You're not addicted to food. You are broken, empty, lonely, sad, scared, feeling unloved, feeling unaccepted, feeling out of control, all totally normal feelings of every human being on this planet. What you feel is not unusual. You're not weird for being weak. Because God created us to need him. And if we are strong outside of God, then what do we need him for? The point is to be in some sort of desert so that he can make you strong and courageous through him, through his word, through his love, through his guidance, through his leading, through his plan. And in order to receive all of those blessings, you have to be taken to the desert, because that's where we're made servants. When we're stripped of all the false realities, the false lies, the false beliefs that we have piled on ourselves from the world, God strips us down from those things. And he says, listen, let's just take a look at you. You're pretty messed up. And it's okay. It's okay. He made us that way, right? He made us that way. That's what sin does. It messes us up. You're never going to not be messed up as long as you're living on planet Earth. But you can get better at it. Does that make sense? You can get better at your messiness by really learning how to let go and let God and leaning into him. Here are some possible things that the Jordan could be for you. Got to cross that river, right? Because getting to the other side of the Jordan was what? Where they were going to find rest. So Jordan River could mean crossing over your anxiety, crossing to the other side of your food drama, crossing to the other side of your fear of life, getting to the other side so that you have some sort of identity in Christ and outside of the world. You have to be totally dependent on God in your desert. Right? Everyone in the desert, they ate the manna. They ate the same thing every day for 40 years, but it nourished them every way they absolutely needed it. And it was new every day, right? For those of you who aren't familiar with the manna, it was like the bread of God. People wandering through the desert, the Israelites were now freed from Egypt. They were trying to cross the Jordan to get to the other side. They could have made an easy route and just go straight across. But instead, like, they didn't listen to God and they ended up wandering for 40 years in the desert. And it's hard for us to listen to God. It's hard for us to take God's path because we want to take our own. We find safety in drawing out pain. It doesn't make any sense. But we do, because there's this part of us that wants to believe that it's going to work out. I know what I'm doing and this is going to work out. It's the same thing with being on a diet, right? Like, you start a new diet, it's painful. And there's this part of you that's like, oh God, I can't do this again. I can't do this again. But you do it again because you're hoping that this time it will finally work. This time you'll finally lose the weight, keep it off, have peace and normalcy with food. Here's a question for you. How the heck can you have peace around your body and normalcy with food when you're engaging in a completely dysfunctional behavior? Dieting tells you that you suck unless you're thin. Dieting tells you that there's something wrong with you unless you look a certain way. Dieting tells you that you're missing a key component of your life if you don't wear a certain size. Dieting tells you that you're not a real woman unless you're trying to lose weight. How many friends do you have out there that are women that aren't trying to lose weight? Think about that. That aren't concerned with their weight, that aren't always feeling like, eh, I could lose a couple pounds. I don't have any. I do not have any. And if I do, and you're listening to this podcast, call me out on it. But as far as I know, all of my girlfriends feel like they could lose a little bit more weight. They sure as heck have a fear of gaining it. That's not eating normally. That's not enjoying your relationship with food. That's not having peace around your body. But that's what dieting does. It steals all those things from us. There is a way to navigate through your life having a healthy relationship with food and your body, but going on a diet is not it. Going on a diet is taking the 40-year journey through the desert over the same darn thing. You are trying to get free from something, but you're not trusting God's word to lead you there. God will still be with you as you travel the extra long route through this ridiculous desert. He'll provide for you. He'll give to you. He'll guide you. He will lead you to his ultimate goal, right? Because everything that we do, God turns to good. Every single thing. Every choice we make, no matter how negative it is, it may have negative impacts on us, but God will still turn it around for our good. Because that's the kind of God that we have, right? That's what grace is. If you are still trying to follow a diet, you're choosing to take the extra long route to crossing the Jordan. You're choosing to take the extra long route to finally getting some rest. It's not an easy journey. Healing your relationship to your body. It takes you being strong and courageous. You're going to mess up. You're going to make poor choices. Expect that. Like, expect it and accept it. I have a woman in my Facebook group who was just commenting on how she knows that when she goes to binge, it's because she's feeling out of control with something else in her life. And she's really learned to be able to recognize that now while she's in the binge and be able to put down the binge, be able to walk away from it and realize that it's just because she's feeling out of control with something else and accept it. That is such a major milestone in what healing from food issues looks like. It can be confusing, you know, like with dieting, we have a pattern, we have a plan, right? We know what we're supposed to eat. We know what time we're supposed to eat. We know the amount we're supposed to eat. We know our macros, our points, our ounces, like down to the calorie, down to the fat gram, down to the protein gram. It's all given to us. But when we're trying to recover from it, when we're trying to end the binges that come out of dieting, when we're trying to end the restriction that comes out of dieting and just find some general balance, it's different for everybody. There's no real like one size fits all. That's what dieting very much is. It's a one size fits all. They say it's not. They're like, oh, this is geared to your lifestyle. You can go out and party and still eat cheesecake. Weight Watchers is like a huge example of that. Oh, no. You can still live your life and lose weight. That's what we all want to hear. Every diet out there says the same message. You can still live your life and lose weight. No, you can't. No, you can't, because living my life means being able to eat whatever I want, whenever I want. And dieting does not let you do that. They have yet to come up with that. There's no diet that lets you eat whatever you want, whenever you want. And that's what we all really want, right? That is what food freedom is. Eating whatever I want, whenever I want. That is what's on the other side of the Jordan. That's what's on the other side of your Jordan. Eating whatever you want, whenever you want. Does that idea seem completely like impossible to you? Does that seem so far off? Does that seem like something you could never have because you've never had it before? I'm telling you right now, if it's something that in a perfect world you could have, you can have it through God. You can have it through Jesus. He has it waiting for you. I promise you that. The reason you haven't been able to get it before is because you have body issues. And why do you have body issues? Because you live in a fallen world, a world that tells you you're not pretty enough, you're not thin enough, you're not good enough. A world that tells you that if you look and conform to the way society demands you look, only then can you experience rest. And Jesus tells us something very different. Jesus tells us the only way we're going to find rest is if we are strong and courageous and follow him. Stick to Jesus. I wasted years trying to find happiness in my body through dieting. I was in that desert and I ignored God the entire way. You know, you guys are lucky in a sense because there's not a lot of Christian people out there talking about this. I didn't think to ever equate God with my chasing after perfection. And for me, that is what dieting was. I didn't realize how much I was using my food and my body to get what I wanted out of life. I was using myself. I was objectifying myself and I didn't even realize it because I was so blinded by the messages that we get every single day from the day we were born. That your looks as a woman are really all that matter. That you can't find rest if you don't look a certain way. You can't find success. You can't find happiness. You can't find love. You can't find friendships. You can't find lasting prosperity if you don't look a certain way. I just saw that as being the norm. It didn't seem twisted to me because everybody I knew was doing it. Every woman I knew was on the same path, had the same goals. Stay thin, be beautiful, fit in. It wasn't until God really came in and started speaking some really deep, important things into my heart that I woke up. And the crazy thing is, I see these groups on Facebook for like Christian women at Weight Watchers or, you know, Catholic dieters, and they're using God's word as a means of supporting themselves through a very twisted, worldly way of truly self-harm. Because that is exactly what it is. Dieting is self-harm. Dieting is beating yourself up for not being something that not everybody is meant to be. Not everybody is built to look like a supermodel. I mean, we all have different bodies. And a lot of you out there don't even know what your body really looks like because you're just, you've spent so many years going up and down on the scale. And that's scary. It's like, I remember those feelings. I remember that. What happens when I start to eat normally again? What if? What if I gain all this weight? What if I am not thin anymore? Or what if I can't get thin? The world will continue to try to suck you back in. And that's where being strong and courageous comes from. You have to be willing to turn your back to the world and say, God, I'm here. I'm yours. Show me what I need to be doing. Show me how I can eat in a way that truly nourishes me. Help me make decisions that build me up as your child instead of tear me down so I can fit into some man-made ideal that carries zero weight in heaven. You know, you're not going to walk through the pearly gates with a crown of jewels because you were able to accomplish the 21-day fix. God does not care about that. There are people starving. There are people who don't have water to drink. There are people who can't make their rent and have, you know, six children that they're trying to take care of. There are children out there who don't have parents, who don't have families. There are dogs out there that are being mistreated and abused, you know, and we're all being blinded. Our focus is being taken away from loving and healing. And being put on a self-centered act in order to fit into something that, quite frankly, doesn't mean crapola, as my mother would say. There's no value in it, other than to be self-serving. Now, you can make the argument, well, but I want to be healthy. Healthy does not mean being thin. That is not being healthy. People are healthy and thin at the same time. But it doesn't mean that because you're healthy, you're going to be thin. I'm smaller than some people, but I'm still on the bigger end of most of my friends. And I'm healthy. But I don't wear a very, very size, you know, teeny tiny oopsie poopsie thing. I wear sizes bigger than a lot of my friends. I also have a lot of friends that are still dieting. You know, I have to ask myself, what size would you be if you actually weren't dieting? Where would your body go? It takes practice to get to the other side. It takes a lot of messing up. And I want you to be okay with that. I want you to understand that because typically, excuse me, those of us who are dieters, we're kind of control freaks. You may not realize it, because it's such a commonplace thing for a woman to be dieting. But like, it does give you a great sense of control. And so if you take away the dieting, you feel like your identity is being taken away. And then you feel like, well, what do I have control over now? Because if I don't diet, I'm going to go crazy with food. You might in the beginning, but I promise you, it's not going to be that way forever. As you get more into making what you look like less of a priority and making how you feel more your priority based off of true nutrition, it will get easier. Food will become less important to you. Right now, food is very important to you. Very, 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 very important to you. You are using food. You are using food to lose weight, or you are using food to comfort yourself. You are using food to feel in control. You are using food to calm anxiety. You are using food as your identity. That's okay. Don't beat yourself up over that. That's part of the process. I want to be here to express to you that being in the desert and crossing over the Jordan to find rest is a mission. This is part of your life's path. It's not surprising to God that you have these food issues. It's not like God all of a sudden thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with Sally Sue? Look what she's done. She's eaten an entire pan of brownies. And yesterday she was on a diet. She has totally messed up. I'm so shocked. God knew you were going to have food issues from the day you were born. He knew that because he knows everything. We get to make the choices, and then God steps in and turns those choices around for our betterment, for our good. But we still make the choices. The devil likes to make us feel as though any bad choice we make is total destruction in our lives. We're failures. That's it. You're no good. You ate the pan of brownies. Your life is over. You're fat. You're disgusting. No one loves you. Your husband's going to hate you. No one's going to want to be your friend. You'll never find someone to marry you. You're just worthless. You just can't get things right. You just can't get it under control, can you? These are not things that come from Jesus. They're things that come from Satan. Because his job is to derail us from following Jesus. And when we don't feel good about ourselves, we get derailed. When we don't feel good about ourselves, the point should always be to look to God. The more you have faith in God, the easier that's going to be. The more God builds your faith in him, the easier that will be. It will be easier to make better choices in certain areas of your life the more you give those areas over to God. But if you keep living in the self-pity, the self-doubt, the fear, all these things that are really satanically driven, if you keep putting that on as your safety blanket, the woe is me, you're never going to get to the other side of the Jordan. You're never going to find rest. It may take you a long time. Yeah, it might. I spent years living under the woe is me blanket. And at the same time, I was so desperately seeking God. Those two things can happen simultaneously. They totally can. Don't get discouraged if you're not making perfect choices. Don't get discouraged if you're still binging. Don't get discouraged if you're still restricting. Don't believe that means there's no getting to the other side of the Jordan for you, that you're stuck in the desert forever. Your path is perfectly divine because you are a child of God. He is leading and guiding you to your freedom in your food and in your body. Don't have an idea out of your own human mind of what that is supposed to look like. When Joshua was getting ready to cross the Jordan, he didn't just say, "All right, guys, this is how we're going to do it." He went to God first, and God told him exactly what he needed to do in order to cross it. He told him what he needed to do, and then he told him what he could expect when he got to the other side. He said, "You need to be strong and courageous. Don't turn to the right or to the left. You need to stay focused on me, focused on my word, focused on who I am as your Savior. You need to stay focused on me." And staying focused on me is being strong and courageous. And by doing so, you will cross the Jordan. And when you get to the other side of the Jordan, you will have rest. He makes it very clear. God is not confusing. We confuse God. God's always very straight. Focus on me, not on your circumstances. Focus on me, not on the choices that you made. If you end up binging today, take a breath, relax, be okay with it. You can sit there and tell God, "I don't feel good right now. I'm sad that I did this. I'm upset." But don't believe that it defines who you are. You are defined through Jesus. You are chosen. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a daughter of the King. You have an inheritance waiting for you. That is not the description of a loser. That is not the description of a nobody. So don't let Satan make you feel that way, because you do have that choice. You do have the choice to get sucked in to the world's definition or to find freedom in God's definition. So let's pray to be strong and courageous while we're in this desert. Lord, you know the hearts of each and every single one of the people right now listening to this podcast. You know how desperately they want to find freedom and peace around food and their bodies. You know the journey that they've been on, from the first diet they ever went on to the way that they've been treated because of how they look, to the true, earnest desperation they have for just finally experiencing some rest on the other side of this. God, I pray that you would put your hand over your children. Let them experience your peace as they continue their journey through this desert of food and body image drama. Remind them how much you love them, that they have your grace and new mercy every day in every moment. Help them, Lord, to be okay with the choices they make, because that is what grace is. Show them, Lord, that they are no less than loved by you because of the choices they make. I pray, God, that you would penetrate their hearts in such a supernatural way that they would divinely feel your light and your energy, that they would focus on you so that they can get out of this desert, cross whatever their Jordan is, and finally find rest amongst your gracious, loving, forgiving arms. I pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Feed Your Faith. I had so much fun with you today, and I really hope that you got something out of the podcast. Please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. That way you will never miss an episode. And also, if you're interested, I run an amazing Facebook group, Christian Women's Food Freedom Through Faith. go to Facebook and just put in, you know, Facebook/Courtney Kopeck, and you will come across it. Definitely check that out. And don't forget to sign up for my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith, that you can get over at my website, www.courtneykopeck.com. Have a blessed day. I see the changes.